glorified.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just go ahead and worship Him. Give Him all the glory. In few minutes, magnify Him. Father, we adore You.
Yes, the Lord, for You are
with me. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus.
Beyond description, eternity, You're the spirit of worship. You are glorious beyond description. Eternity, You're the spirit I am. You are glorious beyond description. Eternity, You're the spirit of worship. You are glorious beyond description. Eternity, You're the spirit I am. You are glorious. 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 You are glorious beyond description. Eternity, You're the spirit of worship. You are glorious beyond description. Eternity, You're the spirit I am.
Glorious in You. The children of Israel. He was so jittery. He had no capacity. He was frail. He had no capacity. He was a weakling. He had no capacity. He was not scared, as it were, of the assignment that the Lord was giving unto him. But he was considering his frailty. He was considering how frail, how weak he was. And he said to the Lord, he said, if I come to your people and they ask me who have sent me, he said, what should I tell them? God said, tell them, I am that I am sent you. One of the realities in God that unleashes strength unto men is the name of God. When you are sealed with his name, you can journey on high places. So when that song references, you are the spirit that I am. The I am spirit. It was capturing a dimension in God that is an endless possibility. I am whatever you say I am. I am the lily of the valley. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the beginning and the end. Alpha, Omega. And on the strength of this name, Moses was able to journey far and to bring the children of Israel out of captivity, because a name was given to him.
Yes, sir.
Because he was sealed with a name.
Yes,
he was sealed. You see, in the Old Testament, one of the ways that the Lord unveiled himself in bits and in fragments was through his name. In fact, at every juncture that they had encounter, it was sealed with a name. If you look at the life of Abraham, Abraham journeyed with the Lord to the point that at every journey, God sealed him with a dimension that is captured in a name. In Genesis 17, for instance, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk with me and be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God. That word Almighty is the word Shaddai. I am the El Shaddai. Almighty God. All sufficient God. He could also be multi-breasted God. That means that as long as God feeds, as long as he releases his nutrients, is an endless possibility. The more you suck, the more there is provision. In Isaiah 49, he says to them, Isaiah 49:15, said, can a woman forget her suckling child that should not have compassion on the son of her womb? He said, yea, they may forget, but I will not forget you. He didn't say, I may not forget you. He said, I will not. It's a statement of assurance. A statement of assurance and consolidation that I will not forget you. He said, you have been graven upon the palms of my hand, and your walls are continually before me. So every time God beholds his hand, what he sees is your picture. Even if your mother and your father forsake you, I, the Lord, will pick you up. Because in him is an endless possibility. In God, there is a well that cannot be exhausted. The more you drink from that well, the more there is provision in that well. That well will never go out of supply. Because it's an endless possibility. I am the Almighty, all sufficient God. I have the capacity to make provision at every juncture. I am the Almighty. The reality of the immortal is captured in the name. And that's why even when Jesus came, he had to give us a name. A name. Because his reality is captured in a name. If you can peruse that name and understand that name, you can journey far with the Lord. He said, a name has been given unto us that is above every other name. How come that all he gave us was a name? How come? How come? If not because there's something particular about name system and nomenclatures in the spirit, how come that the civilization that operated with Christ was captured, the entirety was left in a name? A name, a name. Nothing more. As long as you are living on that name, you can go far. A name. They were journeying unto Mount Moriah. Unto Mount Moriah. A 3 days journey. And when they got to a point, Abraham said to them, at this juncture, you have to go back. Because we go yonder to worship. The very first time worship was going to mention in scripture is not songs, it's sacrifice. Worship is sacrifice, it's a sacrilege. He said, we go yonder to worship. And at the point, Isaac saw wood for sacrifice. He saw light, but he didn't see the ritual, the original ritual itself. And he began to question the Father. We are going to sacrifice, but yet we don't have sufficient components, sufficient reality for this sacrifice. And Abraham said, a name again. The Lord will provide
himself.
He was not just providing, he was providing himself. Do you understand? And what does that mean? It means
himself.
And in that experience, a name was also unlocked. The Lord, my provider. Are you following me? So God came to them with experiences that was sealed with a name. That's why naming system in the spirit is not coincidence. It's spirit alignment. It's not coincidence. So at every point in time that God seals an environment with his name, it was because he is committed with that name. And on top of that commitment, he will never break his covenant. Do you understand it? Because it's like you are coming into a covenantal relationship, a partner in covenant. And that covenant comes between the superior and the inferior. Do you remember in Genesis 15 that God said to Abraham, for you to confirm that my promises or promissory notes is not just empty thought, that I was going to fulfill my promise, God said to him, you will pick an elephant, you will pick a pigeon, you will pick a turtle dove and divide it so that we can see a covenant. And in this kind of covenant, there are two parties, the superior and the inferior. The superior, we have to go through the covenant, and also the inferior. In fact, according to the original reality, the inferior has to go through it first, so that the superior will come. But in this note, on this template, the superior only went through it. He didn't allow the inferior to go through it. Right? That was God showing that by two immutabilities, in which it is impossible for God to lie. Men, by oath, we swear by the greater. So God looked for the greater. He looked behind, beneath, before. Everywhere he could find no one greater than himself. The Bible says that he swung by himself, by two immutability. That word immutability means by two unchangeable things. The old is unchangeable. God is unchangeable. He said by two immutability in which it is impossible for God to lie. God was saying to Abraham, I don't need you to go through it because I'm committed to what I've said. Do you understand this? So what God was saying to God was saying to Abraham in dream that as I pass through this crowd, this animal, whatever will happen to this animal must happen to me, which is actually impossible. Because God was sure that he was committed to the terms of the covenant. But you will think, no one, but you will think that God just left it like that. There are protocols in the spirit. That thing that Abraham didn't do that day, he later did it. Can I explain to you? That thing that he didn't pass to you, but he later did it. Because God must fulfill his own thing and you must fulfill your own. God already fulfilled his own in Genesis 15. But when Abraham eventually got his child, God said to him, take that child, thy only child, which thou lovest. It was a statement of commitment to the part of the terms of covenant. That I've done my own part, I'll fulfill it. I want to see you fulfill your own part. He said, so you have to take this child to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. So God was doing that just to be sure that this child will fulfill the part of his own covenant. God didn't just call Abraham my friend. He called him my friend because Abraham was a fulfilled covenant partner. A fulfilled covenant partner. He fulfilled his own thing. Because in the eyes of the immortal, Isaac was sacrificed. In your own eyes, he didn't kill Isaac. But according to the immortal, what they capture in the New Testament is that when Abraham offered up Isaac, offered up, not he will offer. When Abraham offered up Isaac, his only begotten son, what language of scripture is that? He was referencing Jesus, the only begotten son. When Abraham offered up, past tense. But when we saw it in Genesis, we saw that it was a lamb who came. Right? That means what God was referencing is that Abraham actually in typology killed Christ. Glory to God. He did what? He slaughtered Christ. When Abraham offered up, do you know that scripture? Hebrews chapter 11. When he offered up his only begotten son. Hallelujah. And hope you have not forgotten that when he said to thy seed will this thing be given, it was not referencing Isaac. Because the book of Galatians explained to us that seed is Christ. So you will note that he didn't say seeds in its pluralities, but he said the seed is Christ. So all of the journey of Abraham was actually bearing a testament to a personality, and that's Christ. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for that city. He was looking for that city. And for him to journey to that city, for him to come into that city, God was taking him through some level of trajectory in the spirit so that you begin to come into some layers. And one of the times that he bumped into a layer, God said, You believe God. On the template of your belief, I account it to you as righteousness. That's a New Testament language. A New Testament language. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Oh, we love the Holy Ghost. You know, quickly, in this age and time, we have to give credence to the office of the Christ in order for us to be accurate. If Mimeon is not given to that office, there will be erroneous interpretative measures of scriptures. And we are going to present it accurately because men don't know. I'm saying that if the entirety of scripture is not predicated upon the revelation of the Christ, men can go into it well. Right? And this is why this office must be hallowed. This office must become sacramental. It must become hallowed. We take it all utmost concentration, consecration, and utmost leaning on the Christ, so that whatever we are going to decipher from scriptures will have to be predicated upon Christ. Without that, our interpretative measures can be so erroneous. I'm telling you, there are a lot of things that we have seen from scriptures today because men of God who we have honored so much have given us a perspective, and we have not gone back to church like the Berean, and we have eaten them hook, line, and sinker because men of God said it. How many times have you studied on your own and you found out what a man of God told you is wrong? Because men no longer checkmate, and they no longer reserve their ministerial interpretation upon that Christ. In fact, all of the testament that is captured here, if Christ is not revealed in anything, whether it was Moses who wrote, or Elijah who wrote, whether it was even Enoch who wrote, or angel, if Christ is not the measuring base, that thing that we have just measured is wrong. So when the Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, when it says all scripture, it means that you have to come to a point that you have to look for Christ in all the scriptures. Because even in all the scriptures, there is the writing words of darkness. Demons also spoke. Men spoke. In fact, Brother Paul, at many points in his writing, said, I speak as a man. It means that some of those things that he spoke as a man, you can peruse it. You can even checkmate it. Is this right or wrong? Do you understand it? Because he said, I speak as a man. So you don't just eat everything, you hook, line, and sinker, and say it is accurate. Whether it's Moses, I don't care. If Christ is not revealed in it, then I will never take it. Maybe this is what we just, I will just give us, just take some things.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, we love you, Spirit of God. Yes. If this is where you want to lead us to tonight, please amplify yourself within. Amplify your voice within. Let your voice take over. Let your voice take over. Shana Madoko. Abba. Abane Kasiko. Indo Kotobola High Kandisha. Keke Dobo Ozai. Ozai. Imbrundo Kotokoto. Ababa Balate. Amama ko kondi ke kodemonsa audana imbro koko bahaba shaladiaka. All right. It's just giving me bearing. I like to follow the spirit. Many a times I come here without preparation because I like to follow the spirit. Many preachings that you have seen me do here are things that sometimes it began to reveal to me about the vision. Or sometimes when you are praying or you are singing, just this new word. Like last week, someone mentioned offering, and that was what called the revelation. But tonight, let's go. Let's turn our Bibles to. I'm just trying to get the bearing. Glory to Jesus. Let's turn our Bibles to John. Saint John Gospel. God bless you. I love what you are playing. Are we there? Saint John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 18. Saint John's Gospel. Alright, so let's take our bearing from here. Are we there? Alright. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No man hath seen God at any time. Please mark that word. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. Or we could say, hath revealed him. Hallelujah. Now, we saw this gospel captured by John, and he began to reveal a reality unto us. And there was no way you would say that John was wrong declaring what he declared, because he was supposed to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Right? So there were things that the Lord said to him, there were things that were unveiled unto him, for him to actually accurately decipher the Lamb of God. And one of the things that the Lord said to him was that when you are baptized, you will see what? The heavens open, right? And you see the Holy Ghost descend like a dove. And this is the way you will know that this is the Lamb of God, right? So there were things that the Lord revealed unto John. So one of the things that God revealed unto John is that no man had seen God, whether past, present, or future, until this reality. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, had declared him. That means all through the Testament, all through the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures have told us it's agiography. All through the Holy Scriptures, no man saw God. And this is where the problem came in, because many people are struggling with this revelation. They said Adam saw God. How? It was not God walking in the garden. It was the voice of God walking in the garden. The voice of God walking. It was not God walking. The voice of God walking in the garden. So what he was fellowshipping with was voice. But you can fellowship with the voice of God to the point that you think you are seeing God. Even now, it is happening. Are you with me? Even now, have you ever missed somebody that is so dear to you that you feel the person around? You feel the presence. It's so tangible. You are not seeing the person physically, but there is a connect. It's so tangible. In fact, you can get to the point that you are looking at, can I hug this person? Because it's as though the person is around you. So God's voice is so much tangible to the point that they thought it was God moving himself. Do you understand it? The voice of the Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. Right? It breaks the cedars of Lebanon. So God's voice is so tangible that it could appear like God himself. So Brother John refuted that no man at any point had seen the Lord. At least we have seen about Moses, right? I've explained that to us before, according to Acts. Hallelujah. Now, at this point, he's now saying to us that the only person that came to reveal him, that came to declare him, was Christ. That means, the only certified personality that will reveal to us who God is Christ. If Moses told us something about God, we have to check him in the light, in the lens of Christ. Coming. We have to check it. Because Moses could be wrong. Because Elijah could be wrong. I will show us from scriptures. So whatever they said, if it's not consistent with Christ, that means they added self. Or their level of maturity has downloaded some level of reality. Do you understand it? Their level of maturity. Because sometimes, even myself, when we were growing, I'm still growing, but there were things that we said many years ago that now we are repenting of. You know, God is not angry at it. Because he knows that your level of maturity was what led to what you said. But it will now be terrible if you continue in that state without advancing. At least you have said this several times, sometimes here, that there were things that thought that no, right? Yes. Now, because light has come a little bit more than what we captured in time past, we have left cunningly devised fables. We have left some things that, as it were, are elementary principles that were supposed to bring us into tangibility. So we have left some of them, and we have come into tangibility. Not because those things were somewhat error, but they were for the time being. In order that we can come and embrace the tangible reality in God. So, this in the same way, when Brother Moses and the rest of them, when they came to reveal some dimensions of things, they were for their level of maturity. And that was why in Genesis, Moses could be capturing what God called knowledge as fruit. He said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God was talking about a kind of knowledge. But even Moses didn't know. He saw those visions in pictures, in symbols and signs. So he downloaded according to what he saw, without the accurate knowledge of what he downloaded. If you ask Moses that, come, please explain what you saw, he will say he doesn't know. Because he only captured what he saw, but he doesn't have the interpretation. But when we came into the New Testament, we could give accurate interpretation all to all those things that he wrote. Are you following me? So, when the Bible said that the only begotten Son has come to declare him, that means there's an object of declaration about the personality of the Godhead that is only captured within Christ. Within Christ. Captured within Christ. No one else has that revelation except him. So whatever somebody else said has to be checked and perused through the lens of Christ. Because he is the only personality that is in the bosom of the Father. And I'm coming. Let me review something to you here. I don't know if some of you have seen it. Is that when the Bible talks about this reality, it says, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, which is in the bosom, which is. Please, you know me, I study carefully. which is in the bosom. He didn't say which came from the bosom of God. He didn't say which was from the bosom of God. He says to us, you know, when he talked about John, he said there was a man who came from God. That means the address of John was from God. Right? You can stay in an apartment that is not yours. Does that mean you are the owner of the apartment? You can rent an apartment. So, when it says from God, it means that John rented it. It was not in God. John was not in God. He was from God. But about Jesus, he said, which is in, as at the time that they were writing this word, he was in the bosom. Are you following me? From whence he was deploying his reality was in the bosom. He was on earth and in heaven simultaneously. There was nothing that God was doing that he was not doing. He was in perpetual alignment with the reality of the immortals. Because he was in the bosom. When you see that word, which is talking about a present continuous tense. That at this point that he's speaking, he is in the bosom of the Father. So he's speaking whatever the Father is speaking at the moment. That's why there was no time that Jesus judged on his own without the consent of the Father. Right? And it was there we talked about John 5:19, right? That which I see my Father do it is the same thing that I do. So it was the sight that he captured that he deployed. And every time that he captured a sight in God, it is deployed. What I see my Father do it is what I do. It means that whatever the Father is not doing at the moment, he will never engage in them. So it says to us that which is in the bosom. You know what the bosom means? It's the place of inseparation, the place of intimacy, the place of intertwining, the place of the exchange of DNA strands. DNA has entered into DNA so that you cannot separate. It's like a Siamese twins that came attached together. Are you following me? Even though they have devised a means of separating that one, but I'm just using that example. You cannot separate them. They are one. They are inseparable entities. That's what bosom means. It means that Jesus was in God's loins. And God is in his loins. He is in the bosom of the Father. You know what it means to call somebody my bosom friend? It means that you share all your reality, all your life things with such person. You reveal all that pertains unto you to that person because he is your bosom friend. You are closely knitted together. You have strands. You have cords connecting you. You have everything aligned because you are in the bosom of the Father. One of the reasons why we saw John the Beloved as the last man standing was because he was constantly in the bosom of Christ, learning at his feet. Right? That's one of the reasons why John the Beloved was the last man standing. Because he was constantly learning. Learning. When Christ comes, he will lie on his bosom. What was he doing? To hear his attitudes. To hear what the Lord is saying now. To know the current news in heaven. And God saw him and said, God, this one will be useful for the end time agenda. If I'm going to commit the revelational reality of the end time agenda onto a man, if I check through my disciples, this man will only qualify because he's constantly leaning upon my bosom, constantly leaning at my feet. Why? Because he was in the bosom of Christ. In the same way, the Bible says that Christ was in the bosom of God. He was in the bosom of God. He was in the Father. and the Father was in him. Right? Do you know that scripture?
John 14. John 14. Let's see John 14. John 14. Alright. John 14 verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father? In the Father. And the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Did you see that? The Father that dwells in me does the work. And God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. It was God in Christ doing the work. That means that what God was doing, what Christ was doing, it was God doing. What God only took advantage of is flesh. God was looking for the flesh to house him, in order that his assignment might be accurately developed. And as a spirit entity, he does not have the legality to operate on the earth prayer. So God had to become man, so that he would use the body, the vessel of man, to deploy his agenda. So when you saw Christ came on earth realm, it was God who moved on the earth realm. It was God journeying on the earth realm, only using that body to deploy his agenda. So it was God who was in Christ doing the work. Doing the works. So, you now understand why Christ says that he's always hearing from the Father. What he's saying to you is that in this flesh, I lean on the Father. You don't understand it. Not because he's waiting for one Father in heaven to reveal himself to him. He's only letting us know that the accurate way of journeying on earth is that you lean constantly on the Spirit of God within you. So he's leaning on the Father. He said, whatsoever I hear my Father say is what I do. Whatever he does is what I also do. That Father I was talking about was in him. It was that Father doing the work through him, using the body as a conduit. Using the body as a conduit, in order that his agenda might be established on the earth realm. So it says that, believers that know that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. What kind of theory is that? Where on earth will you find that? That somebody was in somebody and somebody is in the person. It was a language that was strange. You will not understand. A strange language. It's not an earthly language. It's a spiritual register. That the same person performing one reality is the same person speaking to you. But are you following me? What he's trying to reveal to you is that there's no way on earth that you will capture the Father without him. And that was what he said to him. He said, have you been with me for this long? And you are asking, where's the Father? He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. What is he saying? He says, he's saying to us that he is the face of the Father. Christ is the face of the Father. Without Christ, you can never capture the Father. He said, I am in my Father. And simultaneously, my Father is in me. If you do not understand spiritual language, you'll be confused. Because many persons have struggled with that revelation. That how can you be in somebody and at the same time the person is in you? It's because they are inseparable. You can't. There's nothing on earth that you use to separate them. Nothing. Nothing. No separating techniques will work. That only works here. You can use chromatography, fractional distillation, to do whatever you want to do. But in this case, the reality of the mother, that's why this, when you get to heaven, the person you see as the father is captured in the person on the throne, and that's Christ, the man Christ Jesus. Are you following it? Because what the immortal did was that, what they did was that they willed it. They willed it. It's none of your own business. It's not your concern. Even if you like, have headache, it's your problem. But they willed it that inside of him we dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily, bodily, bodily. God intends that body personality will inhabit heaven. But that would be a glorious body. Just like Adam was. Glory to Jesus. So what the immortals decided to do was that they collocated and said, out of us the three, who should we license this authority to? Who should they hand over this level of expression to? That he will become, that he will be spirit and body at the same time. And they decided that it was Christ. So they said, for it pleased the Father that in him, should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell, not spiritually, body. That means that the body is important. The body is useful. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. For believers know that, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The Father is in me because I am in the bosom of the Father. I'm not going to be. I was not. I didn't come from the Father. I am in the Father. I am in that register. I am in that environment. Whatever the Father is doing right now is what I'm doing. Whatever the Father is revealing right now is what I'm revealing. The only reason why they have to separate themselves is because of their assignment. Right? Glory to Jesus. But before the beginning of beginnings, they were inseparable, one entity. You can't say this is the Holy Ghost, this is Christ, this is the Father. When you come, you see just one person. Hallelujah. So, it says that this man, the only begotten Son, came to declare him. Now, because he's in the bosom of the Father, he knows the Father, he has the exact imagery of the Father, he knows the nature of the Father. You should know that Moses did not know the nature. He could have access to fragments, not the fullness. He could have access to bits, not the fullness. But a man says to us that I am in the bosom of the Father. It's so painful how the people believe Moses more than Christ. So painful. How the people believe Elijah. They believe the creator or the creature more than the creator. They even trust the words of the creator more than the creator. It's painful. It's painful. A man told us that I came to reveal who the Father is. In the same way, don't be aware that the person who revealed who the devil is was Christ. The Old Testament, many of them don't even know the devil. That's why everything that happened, they ascribe it to God, whether evil or good. They say it's God. You did hear what Job said? He said, shall we receive good from God and will not also receive evil? Because they were not aware. They were not schooled. They were not educated in the reality that transpired. So everything that happens, say God gives and God takes. Everything, it is ascribed to God. Until Christ came and came to reveal the devil. The thief cometh not but to kill, but to steal and to destroy. But I, the purpose why I came, he said to you that prior to this time, the person who came was the thief, that's the devil. And his institution was to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But another man has come now. The only thing I do is to give abundant life. I'm not in that ministry of killing. I'm not in that ministry of stealing. I'm not in that ministry of destroying. I came to give life and to give it more abundantly, not ordinary life, an excessive, overflowing, overshrouding kind of life that even people in aeons, when they come, they will still partake of that life because it is an endless possibility. I came to give life. The one who came before me came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And people were wondering, who is he talking about? He began to explain to them in John 8, said, you are like your father, the devil. They didn't know. He was a murderer from the beginning. That means how the nature of devil was fabricated. Means that he was a murderer, he was a killer. He killed, he was a liar. I said, you are like your father, the devil. Hallelujah. Now you now see Jesus bringing perspective to some of the erroneous beliefs about God in the Old Testament. Bringing perspective to some of the wrong interpretation, some of the things that are not accurate with God that we have ascribed unto him. And that was what you saw in Samuel. Well, the Bible says that an evil spirit from the Lord came. Because they don't know. They don't know. An evil spirit from the Lord. From where? God is light. And in him is no darkness. So where did the evil come from? Because they were ascribing all, whether good or bad, to God. Say no. I come to reveal who my God is. I'm the only chartered entity who can reveal the identity of the Father to you. Even if Moses told you something, I have come for adjustment. I will show you how he adjusted some things that Moses said. There were things that Moses had his impute. He was not sponsored by God. If you are not a good student of the Bible, you just chop everything. You just take everything. As I respect men of God. But if you are saying things that was not aligned with the scripture, I won't. One of the persons I respect someone said there's a sin of the spirit. How come? The spirit. The spirit that God gave birth to. I don't sincerely. I'm a student of God. I take my time to study God's word. I take my time. So I don't just eat everything. Glory to Jesus. The Bible says that all good gifts and perfect cometh from the Father of light. Now, not the Father of darkness. What he fathers is light. The offspring of God, they are light. So if you are going to check his nature, the only thing you will find is light. No iota of evil. Are you following this? He says that with whom is no variableness, is not variable, is not good today, evil tomorrow. Is not evil today, good tomorrow. Indeed, is not variableness, neither shadow of turn. It doesn't turn. It doesn't. If it maintains its stand, I am good forever. I am a loving God. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. This is the attribute of my Father, attribute of God. No matter what men have taught you, this is the attribute, is that in Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He does not have that capacity to turn. He doesn't. In Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No capacity for that. Who is in the bosom of God? He has come to declare Him, to reveal Him, to unlock Him, to unfold Him. He said to you that whatever many of them have taught you before, check them with Him. So in Matthew chapter 5, He began to bring perspective. He said, you have heard them taught you that eye for eye, tooth for tooth, but not with me. But at that time, it was an accurate teaching. They enjoyed it. But now that the tangible has come, that is erroneous. He said, if any man slap you on the left cheek, turn the other side. But in the old, is that you have to revenge immediately. Tooth for tooth, eye for eye, but not with me. They came to Jesus and they said to Him, how come that Moses, now you now see how Jesus was trying to dichotomize the ministry of Moses and his own ministry, that there were things Moses said that if you don't check it through me, you will go into error. All Moses was trying to do was to reveal a person, right? Now the person he was trying to reveal has come. So you hold on to that person who came and learn from him. Amen. Do you know the point? No matter how you try to reveal it, it can't be happened. There will be excesses. There can even be exaggerations, and there can be shortcomings. Because you will never, but when I come, I can reveal myself. When I come, I can unveil myself. Now the tangible has come, and they came to meet Him in Matthew chapter 19. Let's check. I want to see, can we become an addict studier? Yes, I use that word on purpose. An addict studier of scriptures. And let's the Holy Ghost be. I don't know why God refused this. Maybe because I've embraced this dimension. So when I study my Bible, I see it within the lens of Christ. If I'm studying the Old Testament, I'm seeing Christ. It's Christ here. Whatever cannot be captured in the face of Christ, there should not be absorbed. Because it will be that you are digesting error. And I don't care who is perpetrating it. I don't care the person who is perpetrating it. As long as it is not within the confines of the revelational faculty of Christ, then it will never benefit us in this end time. No matter how you try, you know that when you come to a point in your journey, you begin to struggle with some of the things that you have digested that are wrong. Because there's a software inside of you that detects virus naturally. So when you journey far with the Lord, even at the time when you receive this revelation, if you absorb it, when you journey far with the Lord, at a point in time, that will begin to have contention on your inside, that you begin to scale it. I say, Kai, this one, I have to study on it. I guess this thing is troubling my spirit. Why? Because you have been wired with the proficiency to checkmate and to understand whether things are accurate or inaccurate. So even yourself, you will go far for years. And after maybe 10 years, say, that thing that I've eaten in the last 10 years is not wrong, is not right. Now the tangible has come. Matthew 19. Are we getting blessed? Matthew 19. Glory to Jesus.
Now, verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, that's Jesus, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. What was he doing? He was trying to bring a balance to what Moses said, that you can put your wife away anytime you like. You can just send a divorce note. But Jesus is saying that whatever God has joined together, let no man. That's what I mean. Let's continue. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? What was the response of Jesus? He said unto him, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you. Look at the word suffer. He suffered them because they were hardened. They were obstinate. They were still naked generation. He purposely suffered them. He said, Moses, because of your hardness of heart, suffered you to put away your wife. But from the beginning, that's not my agenda. Did you see that? But from the beginning, what was Jesus saying? But from the beginning, he was saying that Moses was not in the beginning. The one that was in the beginning has come to reveal what was happening from the beginning. Moses only had access into a measure of the beginning. He was not in the beginning. Because from the beginning has come. The beginning of all ages and the end of all ages has arrived to bring perspective to the originality of everything that is captured in God. So whatever Moses said that does not align with this reality should not be eaten. This is what we don't teach the church. We don't reveal some of the lapses of the old covenant patriarchs in alignment with the Christ. Did you see that? But when Jesus came, he came to bring a balance. This is what they call doctrine and balance. He came to bring a balance to whatever Moses must have said that is erroneous. And I told you one time, I said, oh, be aware that the law, the Ten Commandments, is different from the law of Moses. There was nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments, but there's everything wrong with the law of Moses. Everything. Because he added it of his own will. When they were to carry the Ark of Covenant, he had to add another copy that he wrote himself to it. Just to regulate them. Not because God ordered it, but because he thought that, let me use this to regulate them. It's not bad though. But only that they came into an endless level of struggling that they could not find God. And they became religious. And from the beginning, it was not so. I have my ordination from the beginning. I have my template, my order. And I've come to restore the order. Jesus came for restoration of the original template, the original order of how things ought to be. Because with all that Moses gave them, they were perpetually in bondage. They had no freedom. They were suffered because of the hardness of their heart. So what Moses did was that he checked them. That if these ones, I don't regulate them, they can go outside confinement. So let me add the law to them. Let me add, so that this one will regulate them. But in achieving that purpose, they will be extremists. We can't say eye for eye, tooth for tooth. How can we check Matthew 5 and see how Jesus came to balance Moses? Let's check Matthew 5. You see, there's no better person that I would believe in scriptures than Jesus. No better person. No matter how stature or how ranking you now. If you are not revealing Christ from the word of God, no, nothing that you did, we have penetration into my essence. Sincerely, if it is not Christ, that is revealed. Sir? Okay, I thought you were talking to me. Alright, let's start from verse 27. All of these things, though, they are. But let's just do 27. Verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. With Moses, it is an act. With Christ, it is the act. In fact, whatsoever is acted upon is first acted. Whatsoever is acted upon is first what? Acted. You have acted it before you acted it. So, Jesus began to bring perspective that. Listen, according to Moses, Moses said it is until you have adultery. But I said to you that if you have put it in your heart, you are already in it. Now, when you know this, you can begin to control the state of your heart. Because you know that the lens through which Jesus sees you is different from that of Moses. That's why you cannot too much trust Moses. Not because Moses is not a servant of God. He is a luminary. In fact, on Saturday, I will show some of the crazy dimension that he enjoyed. However, what he gave to people, he was exempted. Even this Moses we are talking about, he knows the truth. But still, he kept others in bondage. Or you don't know that law that he gave them, I'm not talking about, you understand, Ten Commandments here, was bondage. You don't know. It was. As if you interpret Galatians chapter 6 or 5 anyhow. Let's quickly read. We'll come back here. Let's see Galatians. Did you see what I shared on the page today? On memorial page today. See the write-up. Now you see, this we don't take time to study the scriptures. That scripture was used for burial ceremony to explain that God is happy when the righteous die. But that was not what the scripture is saying. The man who expatiated began to show us how that we need to check other versions of that verse to see. What that verse was actually capturing is that God is very unhappy when his own dies. God is unhappy. But when you come to burial ceremony, they always use that scripture to judge that this is why they have to die. The righteous will die before their time. One thing you don't know is that the lens through which you see God is that lens he will operate through you. If you are boxed in this lens, you are also boxed. You will never know him further and better than what you have boxed yourself in. Are you following me? I will show you how that, even though it's an inaccurate reality, but a man of God can keep. Yes, he can. And I will show you who does the killing. by your words, people can die. Not because God is behind you. That will not judge that God is behind you or not. It's your own volition. You can speak it, and it will happen. Because you decided to do it. Yes, the man in Christ has that authority. Do you understand it? The man in Christ has that authority. But when you begin to check the heart of Christ, you now know that there is limitation, even though you have the authority. Because he began to show us his own perspective when James and John, the Boanerges, wanted to also venture into the same ministry of Elijah. He said, "Know ye not what manner of spirit ye have made of?" But it does not mean that if you still pray for somebody to die and it's permitted, it's not. Do you understand this? It does not mean. But that will not gauge the authenticity of your ministry. Because some people feel that I'm authentic when these things happen. I'm powerful. You know how men of God boast now that I pray that. Do you understand? It does not gauge the authenticity of your ministry. However, because of your authority in Christ, those things can come to play. Can come to be. Yes. I will show you from the scriptures. Now I said to us, whatever I will not show you. Last week I showed us the four scriptures for one explanation. For this one, too, I will explain well to details. And you see that ministry, even though you feel it's good, does not. Alright. There's nothing wrong with it. If that's where you have boxed yourself. You know the same people that they can box themselves in deliverance ministry. And that's all they do every time. Their work progress is inefficient. Because they have boxed themselves. And God will begin to operate in that light. How best can I explain this? Is it clear to us? Because we have said our own ministry is deliverance. Every time you come, even if you like, send demon out every week. The next week you come, demon will hang around. Because your ministry already accommodated them. But once you know that the best way to do deliverance is to preach deliverance. That's the way the Bible said it. Said to preach deliverance. That's one thing about Christ. Are you following me? Now, I was saying, let me come back. Galatians chapter 6. Doctrine and balance. That's the ministry of Reverend Gideon. Alright, see. Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. They use this for prayer points. But the yoke of bondage is the law. Is it clear? The yoke of bondage, if you read the scripture contextually, you know, some people, all their venture in scriptural escapade is to look for where they can find battle, even if it is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, they will still bring battle out of it. They say, "Do you think God just loves anyhow? He kills so that he will be loved. You saw him that he killed his only begotten son. He will fight. Hallelujah. You see, there's no other joy than you walking in freedom. Walking in the liberty of Christ. I'm telling you, can I not talk to you? If your enemy, if they don't take time,
they can go for it without even uttering it. Yes, okay, I should put it that they can die. That's what I'm saying. Because the Bible said that by so doing, if you show them love, you are heaping coals of fire. Do you understand? It does not mean that if your enemy does any harm, you can't die. Don't get me wrong. They do. Never they die well.
You see? They
rest in peace.
Glory to God.
But you know, there are some persons that no matter how you try, they will not repent.
They have embodied the devil.
And you know that no matter, even if you pray for restoration for the devil, he will not be restored. He has been immortalized in sins.
So if you say, Lord, let the devil be born again, let him be born,
he will never. That venture is fruitless.
Amen.
So they are, in the same way, there are some persons who have embodied the devil. That the only thing that can happen to them is to be exterminated. But as a believer, you might not have to see it before it happens. Your authority alone, as the believer in Christ, will bring up, yes, your authority you carry in Christ. Does. That somebody is standing at night to shoot an arrow into you, and the arrow backfires, and he died in your place. That's the kind of believer the Lord wants to build out of us. They try you, they do all manner of things just to kill you, but it's not working. Every time they summon your name in the coven, it's not working. It falls back on them. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Alright, so you saw that he said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and never be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. If you are a student of the Bible and you have read Galatians very well, it's not that what Brother Paul was trying to balance in the book of Galatians was that they started well in the spirit and they are going back into the law. He said, who are you with you? Oh, you foolish Galatians. So all he was trying to balance was that how come that you are enjoying spirit escape and you are trying to mix the law? It will never work. It will never work. And by that, I'm not referring to the law in Christ. There is the law in Christ. I've said that to us. But talking about the law of Moses that was contrary to them. That Christ didn't attain. Glory to Jesus.
So, in the Matthew chapter 5, let's go back. Where am I? Matthew 5. You see all of these things that I'm teaching. Let us go back home and draw our stories.
I love when you do your studies. Go back and check. Go and study well. I take my time. I'm serious. Just so that some of the mistakes I've made in the past will not repeat itself. Because God expects that we learn from our mistakes. We learn from our errors. In those days as we were growing, we began to check well. There are things that we said that we wouldn't have said. Do you understand? It takes a doctor to destroy a soul, but a teacher to destroy a generation. So whenever a teacher is teaching, you should be careful. Because your words can be picked. And it will sustain the generation. Whether good or evil. Whatever it may be, a generation is slave to the words. Imagine if you have been taught that 2 times 2 is 22. Would have carried it even up until now. There are so many things that we have learned, that we have eaten, that we are just discovering recently that it's wrong. Glory to Jesus.
Matthew 5. Let's go to verse 31. It had been said. Now mark the word. Jesus was referencing what had been said by Moses.
You have heard. It has been said. Haven't you read? Do you understand it? But it's now bringing its own perspective. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce. But I say, he said it, but I say,
wait.
Now look at me. There are two personalities now. We have Moses. We have Christ. Who do you go for? But it's people that people still hang on Moses. And one of the reasons why, that encounter of man of transgression to happen was so that God will bring perspective to what he's trying to explain in this place. The people just, Mount of Transfiguration happened for this purpose. He said, it is this one that you should hear. No, you can read Moses, don't hear him. You can read Elijah, don't hear him. The one that it is, you have accredited that you should hear, is Christ. You now imagine that God said the word twice. In Matthew 3, he said the same word. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, for a good full stop. But how come that when he said the one in Matthew 17, he said, hear him? Because you know that many persons are in the ministry of Moses and Elijah. All they do is to hear Moses. Some, they like the fire ministry, so they go to Elijah. Then this one is our mentor. But God came with a warning voice. This is my beloved son. None of them. Moses is not his son. Elijah is not. It was the finished work of Jesus that brought them into sonship. So he said, as I've talked to you, the only person I miss them, that is my son. You can imagine, I didn't even call Moses his son. He didn't even call Elijah his son with all their achievements, with all their spirit escapade and adventures, with the fire that he called out, the one that he's still going to pay for. Hallelujah. With all. He said, you are not my son. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son. I am this one. I am pleased with him. That and this is the only person that should hear his voice. Does not mean that you cannot read Moses. Because in Moses, his voice is captured there. In Elijah, his voice is captured there. But when you read them, you must listen to his voice. At every juncture, you must hear his voice. So this was the balance Christ was trying to bring. So God authenticated it on the Mount of Transfiguration for you to know that this is why I have come. He said, but I say. He said, but I say. So who should you do? Who should you trust? Whose word is authentic? Whose words can be sealed? Whose word has integrity? So, as you read Moses, honor him. He has done well, but you must see Christ. As you read Elijah or the prophets, honor them, but see Christ. I've shown you some revelations captured in Daniel, right? When we thought about is it the two witnesses or something? I began to show you some revelations from the minor prophets that were capturing Jesus. But they just said their own. They didn't know. But those things were testifying to Christ. In fact, that day when I began to show them, you were looking,
Eh?
I told you, if we do 17 weeks of prophecy of Daniel, you will see Christ all through. But because people don't labor in Bible study, we just want people to teach us. Whatever a man of God has told us, we just begin to say it everywhere. They will think it's your own. But it's actually secondary. That's why it has not affected you. It has not. One of the men that I said, the purpose of listening to a man of God is so that you can enter your own revelations. It's not so that you can say, verbatim. See people? Somebody was saying verbatim. A particular message that Joshua Zeman preached. And he thought he was sharing it. Because I heard it. I heard that message. And he came on pulpit that day, sharing this same thing, verbatim. Are we together? We need help in this generation. I'm not saying don't listen to men of God, but that you enter your own revelation through their own portal, through their own gateway, through their own window. You enter your own. Have you not listened to a message before that at the point you just shut it down and you begin to engage? You don't even care to listen to it again because you have traveled far more than the person preaching. You even know beyond what the person is preaching. But your own point is that you will still continue. You cannot pick the signal in the spirit how that God wants you to enter your own layer and begin to download things afresh from the immortal realm. But because you have been accustomed to listening for long, you just stay with it. You are not entering your own realm. So when you come to the landscape and you just begin to download what the person has said, and people say, that brother is watching. Because it does not strike a chord in the immortal realm. Another person's revelation. No chord is being struck. That's why when you too much listen to a man, you speak him. And you think you are speaking God. That's me. I shut people down. I shut people down. Say for this month, I'm not listening to it. If as I'm talking to you, can you say, God, that means preaching like this person? You can't. But when you see some people, their life is not like somebody else. They are revealing somebody else's pattern. Disclosing their own uniqueness. No, not disclosing. Distorting their own uniqueness. And finding their bearing in God. So that when that voice is heard, they know that this is Gabriel speaking. Not Karumi Damilola. I'm teaching you something there. Do you understand? This is Gabriel speaking, not Karumi Damilola. Hallelujah. Is that well understood? So we saw Jesus bringing a balance, giving us his own perspective, and how we forever honor him, the one who was from the beginning. In fact, even before the beginning began, he was in view. So the man who only saw the back part and captured a layer, I will not respect him more than the person who began before the beginning began. Christ is my life. And if Christ, who is alive, shall appear, I don't know why I just love him. Sincerely, I don't know why. So that's why every time I see my scripture, the scripture lifts. It lifts. It was on Friday I was saying it, but where were we? That there is always a day that the word of the Lord leaves the Bible and enters into it. There is always a day. And that day, you know, because your essence will receive fresh light. you will know that something entered into me. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. When he spake. There's one thing about the speakings of God from the Word is that it leaves and enters into you. When that thing happens, your essence will receive a fresh vibration and resonance that you have ever captured before in God. You begin to navigate in pathways and places where the immortals only tread. Because something already lifted and entered into you. At that day, you will feel another economy that is being sponsored from your inside. You will feel the vitality, the reality of the immortal being enshrouded and tattooed within your essence because something already lifted and entered into you. It is called the speakings of God. At that day, when it happens, we never remain the same again because another layer has been added on top of the devils of the spirit. Devils of the spirit. Not other devils, devils of the spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. So the Bible says that Jesus came to reveal the Father. So we could say invariably that Jesus is the revelation of the Father. He is the apocalypse of the Father. Jesus is the face of the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Many people want to see the Father boycotting Jesus, which is practically impossible. The same is that many people want to make heaven boycotting heaven. You don't understand. Hope you are aware that there is no heavenly place without Christ. So if the man says that he wants to enter heaven, you cannot boycott heaven. I'm talking about Christ. Hope you are aware that if Christ was not in existence, heaven will not exist. The luminary that holds heaven together is Christ. That's why his throne is seated at the epicenter of heavenly realities. Do you remember that when Jesus died, he had to travel into all realms to fill all realms? He filled all realms with his presence. Heavenly places with his presence. Without him, heaven is not in you. So you can never say to me that all you are doing is do heaven at last, heaven at last, and you are not learning Christ. You are not experiencing an unveiling of Christ, and you are learning heaven at last. Heaven. Are you following me? Because the one that is the custodian of heavenly realm is boycotted. It came to the Father. So it is whatever Jesus said to us about the Father that we should do. Is that clear? That's where I'm driving to. So let me drive home my point that all of the old patriarchs who did well, they came to reveal a measure of God. And that's why when that measure is visible, they seal it with name. But what God did with Christ is that God collocated all of his names and put it in a name. So even if you don't call Jehovah Shammah and you say Jesus, it's the answer. Because all of those names have been compressed within the ecosystem of the name of Christ. That was why when he was referencing that name Christ, he said three-dimensional realm, they are going to make obeisance to this realm. He said of things under the earth, of things in the earth, and of things above. As long as those three realms hears that name, even if you don't call Jehovah Jireh, If they hear that name, they must respond. Because all of God has been compressed into that entity. So these men, they came bit by bit to reveal fragments of God to us. And in essence, we are saying that they came to reveal Christ, but in shadow, in typologies. Right? But in the bid to reveal him, some of them entered hell. Right? Some of them, they added their own. Like what Elijah did, it was his emotion. Not sponsored by God. Emotion drove him to just kill over 150 people. And say, if I be a man of God. He was trying to show power. But God was not in it. Because if God was in it, Jesus would not come to balance it. Do you understand? Jesus would not have come to balance it. So the moment James and John said that they wanted to bring down that building, Jesus said, if you have seen your father, go ahead. Right? But because it was erroneous, he said, Elijah just did it. Just leave him. You have another kind of spirit. That means your own measure does not allow you to be an official personality in that ministry. The kind of thing I want to do with you is not to that extent. I want you to stay within the purpose of my ministry. Are you following me? So we read the works of the patriarchs of old. In fact, I must say to you that personally, I honor those people. Because I saw some things they did. That we that we are crying that we are the new creation, we have not even hit a mini atom measure of those things. You want to talk about Moses? Don't let us talk about him today. Or you want to talk about Abraham? Or you want to talk about David? You think it's easy for God to say, this is David, my son, in whom I am well pleased? Or you don't know? Okay, I've taught you before that. This is my beloved son. That word beloved means David. You have your Bible, you can check. You have your, what do they call it? Lexicon. This is my beloved son. This is David, my son. How about Jesus came from that lineage and they called him the son of David? Do you know why when Jesus was walking by and Bartimaeus was shouting, Jesus. You know why Jesus had to do it? Do you know why? Because that man referenced his genealogy. He called him by genealogy. The son of David. When Jesus was going, when he heard the son of David, he had to wait. That who knew me as a son in that lineage? Oh my God. He had to wait. All the disciples said, don't mind him, let's go. He's just saying, he said, no. I can't hear somebody give me my ori. Because that's ori. You know how they do to kings? When they begin to give them their, what do they call it? Eulogy. Thank you. When they begin to give them their eulogy, you see Shango. You begin to say, Shango, look what so. You begin to do like this. That's where fire, on a normal day, without anger, fire will never come out of Shango. What sponsor the fire that comes out of his mouth is anger. And sometimes it is when you eulogize him that he gets angry and he can release fire. So when you train somebody by eulogy, you don't understand. When you get married, you understand. When your wife wants to collect something from you and you begin to say, oh no, worry, begin to do like this. Even if you were angry, because of some things that she struck in the spirit, you have to concede and say, I have to do it. That was what happened to Jesus. Five, nobody can reference my genealogy. These accurate, very few of them. In fact, I'm not sure I heard that name again. Is that true? I'm not sure I heard any other person called Son of David again. How come the Bartimaeus knew him to that extent? It was a revelation. He had to wait. What do you want? You can imagine that somebody is blind. And I see asking him, what do you want? Is he not saying that this person is blind?
Glory to the Lamb of God.
Yes, I just heard.
He is the image of the Father. He is the light of the world to come. He's my strength. He's my light. He's my light.
You see, one thing that is consistent with some of us is that we do not want to expose anything from the world without Christ. Do you hear that? When this becomes your object of worship, you see how things will be unfolding unto you. Sincerely. Well, I don't know, but this is how it works for me. So you can learn. It's not a doctrinal standard. It's my own experience. So it cannot be binding on everyone. But one thing is common, is that Christ must be revealed. It must be displayed. It must be on the display board. The springboard with which we fly into high places has to be Him. If it is Him, forget it. Veering off will not be imminent. It won't. It won't. As long as a man stands within that corridor, within that environment of Christ, without stepping beyond the boundary, I'm telling you, we stand the test of time. And you are going to produce a lasting value. I'm telling you. I'm not surprised as it is happening with my life. And I give all the glory to the Lord with all sense of humility. I'm not surprised. There are things that I've seen. I shared it with us. Things that I've seen. And I see them playing out as God showed me. As He listed them, it's playing out. Because He said a word to me, and I followed. He said, reveal Christ. I will forever stay with that word, reveal Christ. It's not a yearly thing, it's a lifetime agenda. Reveal Christ. Reveal my true nature with God. My true nature. If that's your own means, just think with it. Just think with it. Why is it that they are looking for people who have the word now? Why are they boycotting deliverance ministries? Have you discovered that people are not looking for word? I'm surprised. I'm not saying the prophetic ministry should be undermined. No, very important. But your ministry as a prophetic ministry will not last without word. If I very soon to fold up, if the word is not complementing it, and it's alarming the rate of people that are hungry for the word now. So you know that there's a restoration of order in the church. People are now hungry. I see people now staying for 2 hours, 3 hours to hear teachings. This is not in reality that was consistent with the church before. In 30 minutes, people are already shouting. they are already dehydrated, because they cannot stand that test of staying long for the word. But now, people, even after 3 hours, they say, please continue, sir. I'm telling you, I speak by experience. Continue, sir. People are now hungry. There's a vacuum that needs to be filled. And if that vacuum is not filled with Christ, something will be wrong somewhere. And you will get to a point in time in your generation that you bite your finger and say, "Kai, I've done wrong to my generation because I've refused to be Christ. The Christ." Thank you, Lord. So, you see, that's why whatever I didn't see, practice by Christ. Whatever I didn't see, practice by Christ. Even if it's an higher ranking man of God, you cannot coerce him into doing this because you are doing it. You can't. There are some kind of prayers I don't eat. If that's what will stop you from inviting me for dinner, it's okay. If that's what will delete me from the village, it's okay. Because whatever Christ does not have pain, you won't find my expression in those things. Maybe next week will be a prayer meeting because of our evangelism. But I'll just like to review how many pastors have been employing demons on their behalf. How they have been sending demons on their behalf. You see, when you have this understanding and you read the Old Testament, you will see that some of the things that you said is God. But who said, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came and slew them. That was why Brother Paul repeats what he said, that marvel not, because the angel of darkness has appeared like the angel of light. What was he trying to teach us? The things in the Old Testament that you thought it was the angel of light, but it was the angel of darkness parading as the angel of light. But you see them using, but from the Lord, their level of understanding. Because I told you, they didn't know. Hey, can I tell you? Wait. In the Old Testament, where did you see anyone mention the devil? The only person that tried to mention, they don't say Genesis is Old Testament. Don't get that, don't get it wrong. It's not. You can find it at the beginning of the book, but it's not Old Testament. Old Testament originally begins from Exodus. The only person who tried to mention about the devil was Isaiah. And he was speaking according to what happened over the king of Tyrus. He was speaking in that light. Because many of them didn't know until Christ came to reveal. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So they see this happening. They said, "This is God." They see this one happening. They say, "This is God." Evil and God. Bad, better, God. Because they didn't know. But Christ, the true revelation of God, came to reveal God to us. And he came to show us that the one who came before, even though it's not seen tangibly, but it's walking through men. And what he came to do was to kill, to steal,
I, the Son of Man, also came to kill, to steal, and so, and I also came to give eternal life. He said, my own ministry is totally different from that one. So anytime you see such reality, just look at them. But if you see eternal life, tell me. I love Jesus. I love Jesus.
Behold the Lamb.
Behold the Lamb.
He's the image of the Father. He's the light of the world to come. He's my strength. He's my life. He's my life. He's the image of the Father. He's the light of the world to come. He's my strength. He's my life. He's my life. He's the image of the Father. He's the light of the world to come. He's my strength. He's my life.
He's my
life. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. He's the image.
He's the image of the Father.
He's the light of the world to come. He's my strength. He's my life.
Listen to me. The permissive will of God is not automatically the perfect will of God. It means that God permits some things for your purpose, not because it is his perfect will. Do you understand me? So there are things that transpired in the scriptures that God purposely had in the world. Because even out of that permission, you will bring some experiences that will shape you. Do you understand it? The purpose why he permitted some of those things is because that all things work together, including bad occurrences, work together. In fact, one of the reasons why the Lord wired us to be insufficient is because you know that he takes away all your insufficiencies, you will never gain on it. The testing with a bit of millionaire, you will not come to church the following Sunday. So even with the millionaire, you will still put weakness inside you so that you can still lend that money. So with all of the escapade of rapport in the place of prayer, he said, there's a thorn in my flesh. Please take it. He said, 3 times I besought the Lord, for he said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, go ahead with the tongue, because grace is available for you. That grace, he didn't take away the tongue. The grace is only to sustain you, even with the tongue, with the weakness. That's why you will never be guilty of weakness till you die, so that you can lean on him. Is God less powerful? So why was it that when Moses complained that I'm a stammerer, why did God take away his stammering tongues? Why did he leave him with stammering and allow another man to interpret for him? Because you don't know Moses. See,
That's why, please, whatever you read in the New Testament, Old Testament, please find the bearing in the New Testament. Because when we came into Acts, they revealed to us that Moses was a man of mighty words. He speaks so much. So if God takes away that stammering, he will be talking. Even the person that was stammering said, have you? Remember at the well of Meribah, when he struck the rock. You know how he was angry? He spoke in anger. That was a stammerer. What if he was not angry? He was not a stammerer. So on purpose, God left him without weakness. But I will now assign an aim. What you don't understand that aim, Aaron was the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost helped us in our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. So what Aaron was doing was the ministry of the Spirit. I'm coming to you. Watergate. God began to teach me something about Watergate. How to teach on it. Oh my God. If I was crazy. When you teach, when you study on your own, you miss it. Forget all these things that are just running up and down. Stay. Just stay in the room, study. You see the Holy Ghost unveiling things. That ministry of running around is just meaningless now. Not like before. You must die in the room. Stay there. Let Holy Ghost download things, freshness. When you come into the landscape and you begin, they say, who is this man? From whence does he have this wisdom? I'm not surprised when they said those things about me. Because I know that what I teach are things that he taught me.
Not things that are just better. Just when I'm not looking at this voice. Sincerely, some people are.
Glory to God. So God left him without weakness. Why God?
Sir.
The best thing that God was supposed to do was say, even if he does not want to do it himself, because he will not do it himself.
Don't let me say that.
He can. He can limit God. But however, he uses men. Right? So the best thing he was supposed to do was to talk here. I said, lay hands on his mouth so that this stammer can go and he can speak himself. But by that, in fact, Aaron would not have had the opportunity to talk down on him with Miriam. I said, is it not that? Are you the only one that God speaks to? He also speaks to us. But when God says, if I speak with any other man, I speak to them in visions and in dreams, but not like myself and those. I speak to him face to face, even appearing, not in dark speeches. So what right do you have? If God had not used Aaron as the aid for Moses, he wouldn't have had that privilege to come down here. Do you understand this? He would have just taken away the stammering, and Moses will do all by himself. But God will not leave him without an aid. He won't. Because the day he does that, you become self-reliant. You no longer be regulated. Your life will be independent of him. So the purpose of the age is so that you can constantly lean on him. So no matter how Moses tried, there was nothing he could do without Aaron when it comes to communication. He will try. He can go to meet with the Lord in the tabernacle. And the glory presence of God will come down. But when it comes to communication, he's weak. He needs the Holy Ghost to help him in his infirmities. And that's why that stammering has to stay. So that you can constantly lean back on the Holy Ghost. So that's why, listen to me. See, you die. There will be one witness. But this is not to support weakness. No. Just to say that you will always lean back on God. I say, in myself. I'm not strong. I am insufficient. I lean on help me. Help my insufficiency. I am not strong. By strength shall the man. No matter how the man tries, by strength, that man will not. You have to lean back on the strength of the Spirit. And you begin to guide your hand. And I told us about Peter. He said, when you were small, you could do whatever you like. But now, when you are grown, another man will take you by the hand and he will lead you to a place that you don't want to go. You don't want to go. You don't. You don't have that capacity. You are saying, no, sir. No, sir. But because the Holy Ghost has come, the age, you will always take your hand. When you do some of the things that I'm doing now, you don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes I'll be lying there as though I should not go out. So God began to say to me today, said, there are some of the people that say, Lord, use me. That they sure? Before God, a man said, are they sure? Because when he starts to use you, at that time, you don't have your will anymore. You can, I was telling you, you can save now. I'm just saying that thing that you have seen. Just transform. And as such days, he will allow that the money you saved, that you are carrying it. Because of that, you will carry money out of the house. You don't know why you carry it. Because I don't know why I have to carry some level of money outside because I wanted to go and minister. It's just for me to take maybe 2,000 naira for transfer fare. So I carried all money. And when I got to the church, I saw an old man said, that woman, you are. That's that there's something wrong with me. But it's because I'm now living a regimented life. In the Holy Ghost, a regimented life. That like says, don't go here. Say stay. It, sometimes in weakness, you'll be lying like this and you still have to go for ministration. You have to stand up. So be sure of that prayer. Lord, is be sure. Are you willing to sacrifice for all? That will take over. God bless you. I just used you for.
Are we blessed tonight? Glory to God. Let me wrap up. Let someone else take over. Glory to Jesus.
If you have body, you can read it for us.